Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of my first experiences as a child to play with something like clay was perhaps similar to yours, Play-Doh. You know, that colorful dough which you could shape into various objects and people. It was fun. But however, after growing up with Play-Doh as a younger child, I later discovered it was not near as enjoyable as actually shaping real clay. In eighth grade, I did this as part of an art project. We were asked to shape a shoe, a flower pot, and another bowl. And after they dried, we painted them with clay paint. Then we fired them in the kiln for a day or so until the product was complete. And for an eighth grader, the results were mixed. Although the clay hardened and was bright and shiny, some was more beautiful than others, and some only beautiful and memorable to my mother. Similarly, Jeremiah was sent by the Lord to the potter's house to learn about the pottery business. There he received the Lord's message in order that he might better understand how to communicate and preach to the rebellious house of Judah and Jerusalem. The potter's house and workshop were most likely located near the potsherd gate in Jerusalem, translated clay from the Hebrew. It was actually near the dung gate, the local trash dump for all of Jerusalem, near the slopes of the valley of Ben Hinnom, where we later in the New Testament get the word hell. The potsherd gate overlooked the dump for broken pottery, where useless pottery was thrown away. It is this simple, low environment that Jeremiah sees a potter at the wheel. A wheel with one vertical axle and yet two discs that spin. The lower disc was for the potter's feet so that he could spin the wheel and mobilize it. The second was for the clay to sit upon, the moist clay, and for his hands to shape as he was spinning it with his feet. While working on this clay project, which Jeremiah witnesses, the potter is faced with spoiled clay or marred clay. And because of that, he cannot use it in the way he first designed. Not shaping up into the pot he hoped it would be, he stops and crunches the clay back together and starts all over again. Only this time to make a different pot or container. Pottery was so common in the ancient world that when archaeologists study civilizations today, one of the most common items they find is broken pottery. Every home had it. Every home had it like we have plastic or Tupperware today. And although some were more elaborately decorated and some pottery more expensive than others, it was very familiar to all people of various ages and incomes. And it's this familiarity that made Jeremiah's words easier for all the people to understand. Jeremiah prophesied these words to Judah and Jerusalem prior to the Babylonian captivity of Jerusalem, prior to 586. And in Jeremiah's book, his personal life struggles are made known to us in greater depth than any Old Testament prophet. That's why he's called the weeping prophet. Yet it's in this longest book in the Bible, containing more words than any other book, that Jeremiah used symbolism such as this to drive his point home. And his point here is this: the clay that is marred, the clay that is spoiled and defective in the potter's hand, was not the fault of the potter. Rather, the fault was in the clay and its quality. God had formed his people, Israel, called them by name, called them through Abraham, placed his name on them, and gave them the land of Canaan as an inheritance. But now, due to their adulterous religious ways, they are a shape which God, the true potter, cannot recognize or even tolerate. Judah was much like an addict to false gods, knew its plight, but failed to acknowledge the depth of the problem and repent. It could not reform its ways. Not even the toppling of the northern tribe of Israel in 722 was a strong enough lesson for Judah and Jerusalem. Therefore, some new forming of that clay would take place. But this shaping or forming would take place through a painful process, through exile into Babylon. The damaged clay would be put back into a ball, so to speak, through repentance until God the potter has a new plan and purpose for it. What does this text have for you today? What does this text have for us as the new Israel, the new people of God? Do you feel like you need reshaping? I suppose after a finals week, many of you may feel like you have been shaped enough this quarter by some long nights and little sleep. There is much tentatio while seeking to serve our Lord in our studies. We want to put our best foot forward into our finals week. But as you realize, there are other time commitments and demands, family demands, that come to us. And then things we don't expect. We get a cold or we get the flu, and we're set back further. All this. And then we hear the words on this last day of the quarter from Jeremiah, adding a whole new meaning to pastoral formation. Like Judah, we too are in need of reshaping. However, oftentimes we do not wish to be shaped by the potter. The fact is, we'd rather be the potter. But that's our old self. Instead, as Jeremiah reminds us, we are his creation. He is the potter. We are the clay. Understanding this reality is essential for all Christians, but especially for those who are serving in ministry as pastors now, or who are pursuing it, or another vocational track of service in the church. If we want our own way in ministry and service, then we do not wish to be shaped or molded or formed. God once perfectly molded and formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. He also shaped Jeremiah in his mother's womb, and Israel as a nation, making them his own people. However, he also made you in your mother's womb, even though you too bear the mark of spoiled or marred clay, born in sin. Yes, we have all inherited Adam's twisted, corrupted clay shape. But just as God patiently called Judah and Israel back to himself, he calls us back today. As a potter controls what he does with clay, so the Lord reshapes us every day into his image. He reshapes us through the preached word. He reshapes us also through the refreshing waters of holy baptism. Through those waters, he drowns those broken pieces of pottery, us. And instead, in those waters, moistens us again, makes us soft clay so that we are pliable for his bidding. As St. Paul says about the ministry in 2 Corinthians 4, We have this treasure in jars of clay. And what is this treasure? That even though we sin, he remembers our sins no more. Our good potter forgives and restores us through his Son, Jesus Christ, who took our clay-like form and died on the cross for all our sins. That is the treasure. God, by his grace, has so richly forgiven you in his Son, so that you too may bring this good news to others. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.